It's March Madness, of defense spending at least. Okay, I guess basketball too. But regardless, what are the highlights of the compromised defense budget released yesterday? Produced by Defense News and Military Times, this is the Early Bird Brief. Each morning we bring you the defense and national security news of the day. Also, the Pentagon's drone program gets some of its first funding in the newly released budget. What does this all mean for defense and security? You'll find out. I'm your host, Simone Perez. Today is Friday, March 22nd, 2024. Hey, early birds. Happy March Madness, and I'm sorry, but go Fighting Illini. Sorry to the UConn fans, the Tar Heel fans, to all the other fans, but that's my team. That's my pick. We'll see how we do. Before we get started, I just wanted to let you know to check out our episode on Monday about how war games are influencing strategy within the Marine Corps. Anyways, good luck with your brackets this weekend, and now back to the show. First up, Congress belatedly released its compromised budget for defense spending in this current fiscal year, even though we are nearly 6 months into fiscal year 2024. Capitol Hill reporter Brian Harris brings the latest. So, Brian, what are some of the big ticket items in this legislation?
So this is the Pentagon spending bill. It's worth $825 billion, so there's a lot in there, of course. With regards to procurement, you know, a lot of that $33.5 billion goes to procurement of 8 battle force ships. And that includes, you know, the 2 Virginia class, 1 Columbia class submarine. There's also funding for 86 F-35s, 24 F-15s, and 15 KC-46 tankers. You know, hypersonics investments as well, $2.1 billion for the Army and Navy to help develop their hypersonic weapons capabilities. And then, so, you know, procurement aside, this is, you know, a relatively small portion of the bill since we're talking about $825 billion. But it's probably worth pointing out that the bill retains $300 million for the Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative, which lets the Pentagon make contracts with defense manufacturers to continue to provide assistance to Ukraine. That said, that's far short of the $60 billion in security and economic aid that the Biden administration is trying to get the House to pass via the Senate foreign aid bill. And that's noteworthy because Republican leaders, when they voted on the House, their House bill last September, they actually removed the $300 million for Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative funding due to opposition from, you know, members of the right flank of their party. But that's back in there. And, you know, a lot of those members who were opposed to it probably won't be voting in favor of the bill tomorrow.
And were there any items that made it into the legislation that initially were uncertain or unclear whether they would be in the text of the bill?
There was a bit of a debate over to what extent the appropriators wanted to fund the Pentagon's request for multi-year munitions contracts. And that's because these, you know, multi-year procurement is usually used for things like ships and aircraft that we were talking about earlier. The idea is that making multi-year contracts for munitions sends a demand signal to industry, and that kind of encourages them to ramp up production lines, keep them open, because obviously the Ukraine war has exposed gaps in our munitions replenishment capabilities. So this bill would fund 6 of the 7 critical munitions for multi-year contracts that the Pentagon asked for: the naval strike missile, the guided multiple launch rocket system, long-range anti-ship missile, just to name a few of them. Republican appropriators in the House were initially reluctant to fund 2 of those, but, you know, eventually in this bill, they decided to do multi-year for the advanced medium-range air-to-air missile. So the only thing the Pentagon didn't get for multi-year contracts would be the Standard Missile 6. So they made out pretty well there.
Another important story, Replicator, which is the Pentagon's effort to vastly increase America's military drone arsenal, is closer than ever to its first round of funding. For more on this, Pentagon reporter Noah Robertson joins the episode. So, Noah, could you take us through this funding saga for the Replicator program. What's gone on with that?
Well, Simone, I think you're right to call it a saga, because the funding for Replicator and how much it will end up being, also where it will come from, have been some of the core questions about this initiative since it started. Deputy Secretary of Defense Kathleen Hicks announced the initiative last August, and in that speech suggested that Replicator money would likely come from reshuffling existing funds, what's known in jargon as a reprogramming request. Such a request would require the approval of all four defense committees in Congress, and they submitted that request in early February. That was reportedly about $300 million. That being said, earlier this month, when they were rolling out the budget, Kathleen Hicks suggested that the Pentagon was asking for $500 million in the fiscal year 2024 appropriations bill, which has been delayed for 6 months. That bill text came out very early yesterday morning and included $200 million for Replicator. Now, while that's only two-fifths of what Deputy Secretary Hicks requested, that would make sense if they were to include a $300 million reprogramming request, not as an alternative to, but in addition to the amount included in the FY 2024 bill. Hicks hasn't said publicly that those two options could work together, rather in opposition. And right now, it's unclear whether it's intended to be a replacement or an additive on the actual funding that they're getting in this upcoming bill. And that's if this bill passes, which has so far been elusive for Congress.
And in your reporting, you mentioned that members of Congress were wanting more answers on the program, right?
Yes. Members of Congress have been upset about the lack of details so far on Replicator. I've spoken to congressional aides who have talked on the conditional of anonymity, who've expressed their frustration multiple times throughout the process, which is stretching back almost 7 or 8 months at this point. Replicator's stated goal is to get thousands of what they call attritable autonomous systems, which in simple terms just means drones, out to help counter China by August 2025. This is an accelerated timeline for when the Pentagon usually buys and then fields different systems, but the bet is that with the input of the Deputy Secretary of Defense, such a senior leader, they'll be able to move through the kind of bureaucratic morass which usually slows such programs down. That being said, that's a lot to promise, and it requires a lot of details on how it's actually going to get done. This is a top priority for Hicks. She has said that her reputation in part is on the line with it, and that's what innovation in the department requires. But members of Congress also want to be a part of the picture as well. And not just them, but outside members of the analytical community, members of the defense industry, and also other parts of the Pentagon, like the services, want to know what they need to contribute as well. That hasn't always been so easy. In the new bill text, there is a requirement that if it is passed, Hicks and her team brief Congress with further details on how much this would cost through the end of the decade, and also how the Pentagon plans to sustain and actually use these systems, a note called Concepts of Operation, that would have to take place within 60 days of it passing. Also, there is a note that the Pentagon would have to submit a report within 90 days or 3 months of it passing. That would include further details on what sorts of commercial-style tech, which is similar to what Replicator is aiming for, that the Pentagon is hoping to use in the future, and how it's been able to transition that to programs of record to this point.
Also on your radar for today, lawmakers are eyeing temporary monthly payments for junior enlisted troops in the fiscal year 2024 budget. Capitol Hill Bureau Chief Leo Shane III joins us live from the Hill. Hey, Leo, so what kind of monthly payments are lawmakers looking to pass in this defense spending bill?
Yeah, so appropriators included in this final package that was released early Thursday morning about $43 million for bonuses for junior enlisted troops. Now, this actual program was approved by Congress last in December as part of the defense authorization bill, but the money for it to carry it out wasn't there. And what this would do is allow the Secretary of Defense to hand out bonuses to folks who are E6 or below, to just give them a monthly economic boost to try and offset. This is part of larger efforts on Capitol Hill to react to low base pay for some junior enlisted service members. Under the current pay tables, the youngest folks can make as as little as $23,000 a year. Now, it doesn't include other offsets, other benefits like your housing stipend or your food stipends, free medical care. But still, that's take-home pay. That's a pretty low number, and it's one that a lot of lawmakers have been concerned is hurting recruiting, hurting retention efforts, and really just hurting families who are trying to make ends meet. So this bonus program is only supposed to be in place for 2024. We'll see when it starts to get implemented. It's a option for the Secretary of Defense, but it's not a mandate. So we do still have to see if the Pentagon follows through and starts sending these checks out at some point in the next few months.
And this is all as we barrel toward a deadline for a government shutdown tonight. Are lawmakers confident this will pass? And what happens to troops if it doesn't?
Yeah, so everybody seems pretty confident that this budget will pass. It's really just a question of when. The deadline for the budget for the appropriations is Friday night, and if we don't see something by then, we could trigger a partial government shutdown for a few days. Now, because of the timing of when the tax was introduced and some of the parliamentary issues that have to happen on Capitol Hill here, it may be late Friday night, even Saturday or Sunday before they get this all squared away. So I don't think there's too much concern that this won't become law. It's more just an issue of timing and whether or not there's going to be some problems over the weekend with partial shutdown of some federal services, maybe even some base service shutdowns. But it's the feeling on Capitol Hill is pretty confident this will move ahead and that the money for these bonuses and everything else for the Defense Department in here will become law in the next few days.
And now here's some other stories we're hearing chirps about. The Department of Veterans Affairs leaders announced yesterday that the VA is delivering disability compensation benefits to a record number of women veterans. NJ.com reported hundreds of people witnessed history yesterday when the battleship New Jersey left its home pier for the first time in 25 years and heads to a dry dock for repairs. Task and Purpose reported yesterday that World War II Ghost Army veterans received the Congressional Gold Medal. And Russia fired more than 24 missiles at Kyiv before dawn yesterday, attacking the Ukrainian capital for the first time in 6 weeks. And on this day in history, in 2019, former President Jimmy Carter became the longest-living commander-in-chief in American history. At 94 years and 172 days, he exceeded the lifespan of the late former President George H.W. Bush. That's it for us this morning. To get more top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media at @defense_news and @militarytimes. The Early Bird Brief is hosted and produced by me, Simone Z. Perez. Today's episode featured stories by Brian Harris, Noah Robertson, and Leo Shane III. Have a great day.